The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing wonderful today. I hope you're having a great day. Everyone's electricity is back on. Life is a little bit back to normal here in the Northeast. And for most of us, not everyone, those of you who could be listening, that it's not, I really feel your pain. 8 days was more than enough for me, so I can't even imagine being longer than that. Anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about your kids today. And I want to ask you a question. Do you think it's harder for kids to grow up today? You think the world they live in, which is such a cyber world, do you think that's harder for them? Or maybe you think it's easier. They certainly have a lot of communication. They have friends all the time they can connect with. They are updated a lot. Maybe that's easier, but maybe that's harder. It doesn't end at school day. You know, at 3 o'clock when school used to end, that was it. That was when the gossip ended. But now it goes on 24/7. And there's good and bad. Of course, there's good and bad to everything, but there's really good and bad to that. But I think it is tough for kids in some ways, and I think it's easy in some ways. But the ways that are tougher are ways that no one really understands. Well, no one, certainly as well as my guest today, Annie Fox. She is an author of many books about children and education. She has been a teacher and an educator and a speaker and an author for, probably over 30 years. She has written many books, including the Middle School Confidential series of books, and the Teen Survival Guide to Dating and Relating. That's a good one. Are We Lost? Are You My Friend? Tons of books Annie Fox has written, and she has a new book coming out, which is terrific. It's called Teaching Kids to Be Good People, and that's what we're going to talk about today with Annie Fox, and I want to welcome Annie to Shannon's Corner. How are you today, Annie?
I'm doing really well, Shannon. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to turn you up just a smidge. Ah, that's much better. I can hear you better. Okay. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And you know, this is an interesting topic because I think most people, I don't know what most people would say in the answer to my question, is it tougher for kids to grow up today or not? I think, as I said, in some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. But certainly, I think it may be tougher to teach them to be good people because they are so inundated with so many things so early on that are in, on TV, online. I mean, they never really get that on that personal connection with just themselves and their morals, right? I mean, there's always something going on in their life, in their head, in their hands, on their TV, on their computer. Do you think this is a problem?
I do think it's a problem, Shannon. I think that you've hit something on the head. The idea about being with your thoughts and your own values and really pondering, how do I feel about this choice I'm about to make? How might it impact my friends? Everything seems to be so instantaneous. They don't have time to reflect. And they're being bombarded, as you said, by all kinds of messages that do not always reflect the values that their parents would like to instill in them.
So there's that real disconnect there. The job is getting harder. And for the kids, I think the job is getting harder because you're right. That peer pressure is always in their face. They can't go home and think about it. It used to be that you'd leave school at 3 o'clock and then you'd think about certain things. And maybe you'd think about what somebody said or, you know, the gossip would certainly stop there. Now nothing really stops at any time of the day or night. I mean, I have a teenager and all they ever do is constantly text. And this goes on sometimes 2 a.m, you know.
I mean, there are kids who literally sleep with the phone underneath their pillows because they don't want to miss any of the gossip.
They all do. I mean, they do. They plug it in, but they sleep with it. And yes, of course, they get some sleep, but they are never not connected, which is truly a problem. And your new book, Teaching Kids to Be Good People, you say that not all teachers are parents, but all parents are teachers. Mm-hmm. Is our job harder as parents because of all this?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. No, it used to be that, you know, people in a community, it was your community. And you could pretty much count on the fact that whatever values you shared were shared by your neighbors. But now the community is global in terms of the influence that so many people have on your child. And obviously, not all values are going to reflect your own. And that's why parents' job is even more difficult and challenging than it's ever been. because we don't know who those other influences are. And you know, I don't get all paranoid about it because that's not my point of view at all. But I think it's imperative for parents, A, to have unplugged time with their kids so the kids are not consistently bombarded with anything, good, mm-hmm. bad, or indifferent, just because their young brains really need to just go, okay, I'm just going to relax here and talk with mom or dad or talk with brothers and sisters. And maybe, hey, here's an idea. How about just like read a book for pleasure or take a walk while you're not constantly texting and in communication and reception mode? So we've got to pay more attention to the fact that our kids are plugged in all the time,
yeah.
which makes them really agitated. But the other part is it's really have conversations that count about ethics and social justice, mm-hmm. and courage.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I attempt to do that often, and sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's hard. I mean, I connect a lot with my daughter and we talk a lot, but she's never without that phone, I must say. Regardless of what's going on, occasionally I have to say, okay, it's either that phone or me and we're going to have this conversation. But it's true. Now, on the positive side, I don't have so much of a problem with texting because I think in a way it is writing and they do think out what they're going to say. I will say that because I know when my daughter's having an argument, let's say with her boyfriend or someone, she'll say, no, you know, I didn't want to write that. I wrote that and thought, no, that doesn't sound good. I'll think about that. So I think that there is something good about texting because they have to actually define what they're going to say.
Well, I have to respectfully disagree.
Okay,
because
fair enough.
I think your daughter, that what you just described, is way more thoughtful than I think most kids are when they've got this texting machine in their hands. And their emotions are very agitated. The thing is to lash out, to say things that we necessarily don't feel good about in retrospect. The fact that your daughter is thinking about it ahead of time, I think, makes her rare. So when you have the ability to respond instantly, in most kids don't use that opportunity well.
Mm. Well, but a telephone could be the same way. I mean, we can argue with someone on a fight. So I think with texting, it takes a little more effort to say something mean because you actually have to write it and see it. I could be wrong. But I think that if you have a good set of morals, I think it's harder to write that.
Well, here's the thing, Shannon. You know, I think most kids know what the right thing to do is beyond kindergarten. They know the difference between right and wrong. What is so challenging for them is the fact that the emotions are so intense and often destructive that it's that knee-jerk reaction to lash out. And instead of saying, okay, well, I've got, here I am walking home from school. Look back, you know, 30, 40 years. I'm walking home from school. I'm upset about what happened last period at school, but there's nothing I can do about it now.
Right.
I don't have a phone on me. I'm walking home, and I'm going to be walking for the next half mile till I get home. It gives me lots of time to calm down and think. But when there is no opportunity to calm down and think, then we react from a very impulsive part of our brain. And we don't always do our best thinking from that place.
So how do we teach our children to do their best thinking? I mean, you clearly say that a lot of this is a huge problem and that teens suffer anxiety at levels higher than any other generation before. So how do we teach them to chill, basically, mm-hmm. to push it all away and to chill and not take all this stuff home with them all the time?
I love the question because the truth is, We teach a lot by modeling it. And if we ourselves are parents who get really stressed out at life's inconveniences or frustrations, I mean, over-the-top reacting, then we are showing that to our kids that this is how adults handle situations like this. Not necessarily our best model for dealing with stress. So the first thing is to hold up a mirror and take a look at yourself. If, for example, and this is something I talk about in the book a little bit, is if there were hidden cameras in your home on a typical day, what scene would be recorded in the way that you interact with your children, the way your children interact with each other? What would show up on the videotape afterwards? Would it be something that you'd go, oh, my goodness, I had no idea we spoke to each other in that tone of voice, or with that volume, or with that kind of actual dismissiveness and disrespect. Gosh, I didn't think we did that. So it's an interesting question to see. We don't notice these things when we're upset.
Right. That's true. That's true. So what you're really saying is take a look at yourself, because apples don't fall far from trees.
Well,
and that we have a responsibility, certainly.
We do have a responsibility. Yeah. And it's hard because we are human beings and we're hardwired to go for attack mode when we're angry or upset or we feel threatened. We're not thinking, oh, my children are seeing this. Maybe I should, dial it back a bit. But we really need to do that as parents because, as I say, all parents are teachers. And what we're teaching is what we're living.
Mm. And you say that also, that this is a culture of cruelty. I don't want to get into that right now because I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about your book and how it can help parents and kids to be better. It's Teaching Kids to Be Good People with Annie Fox, who we're talking with, the author of that new book. And we will be back here on WTBQ in just a few.
Run on WTBQ.
WTBQ. Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today. And don't go anywhere. We're talking about you and your kids. We're talking about parenting. We're talking about kids, and we're talking about the new generation and the new way we have to parent our kids because the new world that they live in. I'm talking with Annie Fox, who is an author, an educator, a speaker. She's written many books on children, wonderful books, Middle School Confidential. I love them all. There's three in that series, and there's other books. You can go to her website, which you can get through shannonscorner.com, right through WTBQ. So just click on the website, and there is a hot link to AnnieFox.com. Her new book is Teaching Kids to Be Good People. And before we took a break, I mentioned that Annie talks in this about that we live in a viral culture of cruelty. And what is that? What does that mean to you, Annie? I mean, what does that mean? You think that this viral world can be really cruel? Is that kind of where kids are getting kind of lost and really, as you said, they know right from wrong by first grade. They're getting lost in that knowing right from wrong because of what happens online and all the cruelty there?
Yeah, it's not just the kids who are getting lost. I think we're all getting distracted by it. What passes for public discourse? I mean, we just came through an election season. And it's the idea that you gain points, literally votes, by your ability to drag the other person down. And you see it on the sidelines of a soccer game. Parents often get really, really upset. And then, there's no holds barred when they're yelling at the referee or the other coach or even kids on the field on the other team. So, all of this is I define cruelty as a ready willingness to bring someone else down.
Yeah. Well, your book, Teaching Kids to Be Good People, Progressive Parenting in the 21st Century, has received lots of wonderful praise. And it's really a step-by-step guide, isn't it, for parents and kids and how to deal with kids. Give us just an outline of your book and who you wrote it for and when you're buying this book, who should buy it and what are we looking for?
Well, I'll answer the last question first. Anyone who lives or works with kids has the opportunity to be a positive influence in their lives. And it doesn't happen by osmosis. I mean, part of it is role modeling, as we've talked about. But the other part is having conversations that count, conscious moments where you're saying, I have an opportunity here to help this young person think about things in an ethical way. And we don't want to miss those opportunities. And instead of just like, I don't know what to say, I've got suggestions here of how to have these kinds of conversations. They're very open-ended suggestions because, there's no one right way to parent. Though there are plenty of, sketchy ways.
Right.
but what I will say about the book is that the definition of what is a good person may be up for grabs, or so I thought. Teaching kids to be good people. Well, hey, Annie, how do you know what a good person is? Who are you to say? So what I did was I put out that simple question, how would you define a good person, to hundreds and hundreds of people that I know online, writers, counselors, educators, parents, teens, and just waited for the answers to come back. And I sifted through all the answers in 8 words. Kept coming up as people defined in their own way what a good person was, but the words were words that essentially became my table of contents. We're talking about, for example, respect, empathy, compassion, social courage, and things like that. And I thought, well, this is great. Everyone's kind of on the same page. So maybe there is a way to define a good person. And are any of these skills teachable? Well, I looked at them. I said, yeah, they are. They're not just, you know, well, she's born that way. It is absolutely teachable to have someone be able to recognize when someone else needs help and to push through whatever resistance we have to say, how can I help you?
That's terrific. And you're also teaching kids to look at the bigger picture, aren't you? Instead of that narrow view that happens on a daily basis. Oh, so-and-so doesn't like me. Oh, I felt stupid today. You know, you're teaching them to look at the bigger picture and what really matters here, right?
Absolutely. And that's only a perspective that a parent can give.
Yes.
An adult who's been down the road, around the block a few times, to be able to say, okay, you're upset really right now because you didn't get invited to this party.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand how upsetting it is. However, I want us to work together to talk about how the bigger picture might play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're right. That's a parent's job, is to show them the bigger picture and not get caught and stuck in that sort of everyday, mundane, hurtful stuff that is just part of school and being a teenager and being a kid or what at any age. What is social courage?
Social courage is recognizing that someone out there in front of you needs a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And despite what other people are saying or doing about that person, you know that the right thing to do may be to go up to that person and reach out in friendship. It's the kind of feeling that I have some power to do some good right here in this moment. And yeah, you know what? I might catch some flack because of it. Oh, you're being friends with him?
Uh-huh.
But you do it anyway because you have social courage. You know what it takes to make things better, and you're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good one, because that is something that kids have to a little bit get out of their comfort zone.
They do, and
yeah.
We all do. You know, I've been in situations where someone was making an off-color remark or just something blatantly offensive that he or she thought was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, I'm sitting there, Shannon, and I'm going, I don't know this person very well, but I should say something.
Yeah.
But it's awkward.
It's awkward. Sometimes it makes it worse. Sometimes you look bad. Sometimes it's like, it's tough. But when kids are in those situations, they can either just, if they can't say something, we can teach them to walk away or to never say anything bad. Or when it comes to them, you know, when the conversation comes around to them, to say, no, I don't want to talk bad about anybody.
Exactly.
And if you can teach your kids to do that, I've always taught my daughter to do that. Never talk bad about anybody. You know, there for the grace of God go any of us at any time. You don't want, you know, anybody talking about you in any bad way. So think of how you would feel. So, I mean, if you can get that to kids, that's the start of empathy, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? Again, conversations that count. Sharing with your kid about times when you felt awkward about it, or when you actually broke through and said something. You know, just a little thing that let people know where you stood about it, that you were not part of this crowd that was piling on someone else.
Mm-hmm. So in your book, you know, for parents, for kids, for teachers can get this book, counselors can get this book. As I said, you have wonderful praise for this book. And many people say this is great for counselors. This is great to have in schools. This is certainly great for parents to have, teaching kids to be good people, which is the essential of what our job is to do, isn't it? Teaching kids to be good people. Everything else, I think, is secondary. Being a good person is the most important thing.
Yeah, and you know what I say, we need more good people in the world, right?
Yes, we do. We do. And we got this generation coming up, and they're going to be the ones that are going to lead it. I mean, they have to be good people there, and it's our job to make good people. So you've written a wonderful book for all of us parents. How can everybody get your book?
They can go to AnnieFox.com,
Okay.
Or if they remember the title, they can go to TeachingKidsToBeGoodPeople.com.
Oh, okay. So AnnieFox.com is on WTBQ. Just click on Shannon's Corner, and we have a direct link directly to it, so they can just go there. If you're in the car and you don't remember, just as I said, go to WTBQ or just go to AnnieFox.com. That's pretty easy to remember. You have wonderful things on your website. You have links to all your terrific books. So if you don't know Annie's books, definitely go there and take a look, because Middle School Confidential, I have given to friends kids in middle school, gave them to my daughter in middle school, and they're really helpful. They're really wonderful. And I know this book is too, Teaching Kids to Be Good People. Annie Fox, thank you so much for joining us today and letting us know about your terrific new book.
Thank you, Shannon, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, you too. Great work, great job, great book, great Annie Fox. Everybody definitely go get it. It's really important, teaching our kids to be good people, the best thing you can do. Anyway, we do have to wrap it up for today, and thank you for joining us here on WTBQ. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.